Baba, Akabo, Jambo, and hello again, Bankless Africa.
We are back again with the weekly Sats and Gwe, here to bring you the latest reports, updates, and recaps of some of the most significant crypto and Web3 headlines about the African continent and sometimes about the globe. I'm still Miss Purple.
And I remain Nike.
Your highly esteemed decentralized reporters from Africa.
We'll take a quick delve to see how the markets are doing as of today, the 29th of January. Bitcoin has remained relatively stable, hovering around the $23,000 mark, and currently sits at $23,498.36. Ethereum has experienced a slight decline over the course of the past week, currently sitting at $1,610.98, down from what it was at $1,646.20. Now, optimism has perhaps seen the biggest boost, going over 100% gain in the past week, from what it was at $1.03 last week to what it is as of today at $2.25. We have Matic currently sitting at $1.17, slightly up from what it was last week at $1.01. And the Bank token has remained relatively stable, hovering around a price point of $0.008.
Moving on to our national currencies, we're going to start off with the Ghanaian cedi, which is at 12.41 cedi to the dollar, down by 0.89% from last week's 12.30. The Nigerian naira is at 460.28 naira to the dollar, down by 1.15% from last week's 455.05 naira to the dollar. The Lesotho Luti and South African rand are at 17.20 rand to the dollar, down by 0.47% from last week's 17.12 rand to the dollar. The Kenyan shilling is at 124.46 shilling to the dollar, down by 0.29% from last week's 124.10 shillings to the dollar. And last but certainly never the least, the Central African CFA franc is at 603.26 franc to the dollar, up by 0.43% from last week's 605.89 franc to the dollar. And with that, that brings us to some updates from last week of some of the headlines that we found to be particularly interesting. And I am going to start off with the Central African Republic, which is currently working on a crypto adoption legal framework in order to ensure that citizens of the Central African Republic are able to transact and to make use of crypto in a way that serves the people above all else and attempts to protect them from any sort of malicious activity and, of course, perhaps work on some kind of taxation model if there should be one.
And I think the one that perhaps struck a chord with me from last week would be the headline about CarryFirst, the African Web3 game publisher that raised $27 million in funding. I mean, every time we see African startups breaking the barriers for how much has been raised in funding, and the figures just seem to get bigger with every headline. $27 million is huge. And in the past week, I myself paid a visit to the CarryFirst website and attempted to buy a Steam card for gaming. The interface was really good. And I just want to say big ups to them for the amazing work they're doing. And I really do hope I can continue to use their service and count on it in the future. I think if you are really into that kind of thing, you should check it out. It's really great platform. It's something anybody would love. And that brings us to a wrap-up of our headlines from last week. We'll be kicking off this week's headlines with South Africa, where the country is looking to add new cryptocurrency standards to its advertising code.
South Africa currently ranks as one of the countries in Africa with the highest rates of cryptocurrency adoption. The country's advertising regulatory board is now including a clause in its advertising regulatory code, which will be very particular when it comes to cryptocurrency. A major pitfall which is often faced by new entrants into the cryptocurrency space is misleading advertisements by false gurus, per se, promising humongous returns within the shortest time possible, thereby painting crypto as a get-rich-quick scheme. The clause clauses included in the advertising code will seek to ensure that individuals and organizations publishing cryptocurrency ads do so in accordance with the precepts of ethical advertising principles while not providing misleading information to the general public. The aim of this is to ensure that media houses do not abuse the power that they have by allowing the promotion of false news. Furthermore, this new code mandates that adverts must clearly inform the audience that investments may result in the loss of capital as the value is variable and can go up as well as go down. Adverts are also to henceforth include well-rounded information about the advertised cryptocurrency token and or service to ensure that the audience is well aware of the risks and benefits involved. This is all in an effort by the consumer to increase consumer awareness while not compromising its standards on consumer protection. I think this is a phenomenal move by South Africa and by whoever is behind this advertising regulatory board. I think it's a very good step towards making sure that, you know, rather the attitude is making sure that, fine, if this is going to exist, how can we exist with it and ensure to protect people versus simply saying we're going to outright not allow people to be able to participate in something of the sort. Because, you know, I understand that sometimes it's easier for you to do that, but it serves your people better when you simply ensure that if we're going to try something new, might as well try it in the safest manner possible. And on to the next headline for this week. Blockchain is set to rebuild African financial systems, according to Ian Putter, the head of blockchain COE at the Standard Bank Group.
The African financial system has evolved over the years to include innovative financial instruments and products, including loans and credit facilities, overdrafts, mobile money, and fintechs, all of which have to some extent aided in bridging the financial divide and promoting inclusion. Blockchain technology offers a next step into the future of the African financial system. Now, besides offering the advantages of instant settlements in terms of sending and receiving money, improved efficiency due to the use of immutable smart contracts, increased accountability, improved security, and reduced transaction costs, blockchain technology holds the promise of allowing people maximum control over their money. Now, in a statement by Ian Putter, the head of Blockchain Center of Excellence at the Standard Bank Group, he again reaffirmed the possibility of blockchain technology transforming Africa's financial economy and bringing financial services to the over 900 million unbanked persons in the population, while also highlighting that blockchain technology is a key to building a fully integrated African financial system. Well, I, for one, think that 900 million is a lot of unbanked people. I mean, there's 8 billion people in the world. And of the 8 billion people, we have 1 billion, nearly a billion of the unbanked people coming from Africa. And I feel like that's just an indication that there's so much more work for us to do. Now, moving on to the next headline, South Africa's crypto startup, SentBee, has raised $1 million to scale its cross-border Bitcoin remittances.
SentBee is a blockchain payments company with South African and UK origins, with a user base of over 50,000 registered persons on the SentBee wallet and at least 35,000 total remittances processed. The company gained enough ground to successfully close $1 million in pre-seed fundraising round. The company already has an impressive range of services and has also improved its featured offerings to include even more interesting services, including Chat Pay and its in-wallet chat app, which is its in-wallet chat application. In a statement by co-CEO Lorraine Gamaroff, and I quote, "We have the right vision, products, and team to drive exponential growth for our investors. Consumers around the world are looking for better, easier ways to pay, and our blockchain-based payment wallet does just that. Our latest feature, ChatPay, makes it easy to send money via an in-wallet chat application," end quote. SentBee aims to continue providing its cross-border payment services through cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. This is quite exciting. I have personally not heard of CentB, and I am looking forward to seeing what more kinds of innovations can continue to come out of the people. Things that are so innovative that when you think about it, money should be as easy as sending a text, especially because it's something that all of us use, something that regardless of what kind of class you're in, you know, what societal level you may feel you rank in, you will always need to use money in some way or another, whether it's digital money or you use your card or you use cash or mobile money. Either way, money is something that all of us understand in some way or another. So I think this is a positive step in the right direction. On to the next headline for the week. Bitcoin mining brings more than money to Malawi.
Now, more families are connected to the grid thanks to a Bitcoin mining project in a rural part of Malawi, which also gives an underdeveloped area more economic empowerment. According to a tweet from the project sponsors, Gridless, 1,600 families are now connected to this isolated hydro mini-grid in the mountains of southern Malawi. Now, this project is set to transform the educational, healthcare, business, and wealth-related fortunes of the people in the region while minimizing the footprint of its environmental impact to the bare minimum. I mean, when I saw this, I mean, this is not the first time we've heard about, you know, Bitcoin villages or mini Bitcoin mining grids located in small communities. And we've so far seen the kind of good they can do. And what is even more interesting is that most of these mini grids are adopting green solutions. So I think this is a really great initiative. And that is a lot of families that are going to be positively impacted by this grid in Malawi. And this is really good news to hear. Now, moving on to the next headline, Cheaper Cash has received a license to provide money transfer service again in Malawi.
The Pan-African cross-border payment startup Cheaper Cash has recently acquired a license to operate in Malawi, which is a country in southeastern Africa. This license will allow it to legally offer its services within the country, as announced by the company's VP of Global Developer Relations, Wiza Jalakasi. The license, which was issued by the Malawian government on the 23rd of December 2022, read, and I quote, "A license is hereby granted to Cheaper Payment Services Limited, the licensees, in respect to the provision of application services to provide money transfer value-added services with effect from the effective date. This license is issued subject to the terms and conditions hereto and to any other terms and conditions and promises of performance that may from time to time be incorporated herein under the Communications Act and the regulations thereto. Failure to comply with any term and condition may lead to suspension or revocation of this license," end quote. With that, it is a big congratulations to Cheaper Cash on the acquisition of this operating license. I think outside of the fact that, you know, the lingo to these types of licenses or contracts, this is a license that it accounts for the fact that from time to time, you know, the performance that may from time to time be incorporated herein. It understands that anything could happen. And I do hope Cheaper Cash all the positive hope that they can possibly hope to garner. And of course, I wish them all the success. And we hope to see only positive things and perhaps an encouragement towards a bit more transparency within the space. On to our next headline, Binance Charity selects 1,000 Africans for their tech scholarship in collaboration with Utiva.
A year-long intense skill training program for 1,000 Africans has been picked by Utiva, an African technological education firm, and Binance Charity, the humanitarian arm of cryptocurrency and blockchain infrastructure provider Binance. Now, in the words of Helen Hai, Vice President at Binance and head of Binance Charity, "Today, we are celebrating the 1,000 students selected for full scholarships as part of our Binance Charity Scholar Program. This is our most ambitious education outreach to date in the region, and overwhelmingly positive response further bolsters Africa as a key hub for emerging tech talent. We are so excited for these young people as they embark on an exciting new career journey." Now, the scholarship initiative, according to Binance and Utiva, has already enlisted young Africans between the ages of 18 and 35 from 19 different nations, giving them a platform to learn digital skills for a 12-month period. First off, I am just really excited at the optimism that, you know, the vice president at Binance has expressed in Africa, as she said, being a key hub for emerging tech talent. I mean, if we do say so ourselves, Africans are really talented, and we have Africans, you know, building amazing projects in Web3, in tradcos. We have Africans doing a lot in fintech and in DeFi. But the thing is, I just don't feel like there is enough Africans, you know, out there. I mean, there's a significant number, but not enough. And I feel like this move by Binance Charity to train 1,000 people, that's a lot. And it's a full scholarship, you know, providing everything they will need for a 12-month training period, including mentorship and everything else. I feel like that's like a huge commitment on the part of Binance and Binance Charity. And I am super excited for the outcomes of this. Now, moving on to the next headline, Kevin Rose's 40 NFT wallet has been hacked. Wow, that is sad.
Kevin Rose, the CEO and co-founder of the NFT-backed collective Proof, tweeted on Wednesday that his personal wallet, which held up to 40 high-value NFTs, has been hacked. The tweet, which makes mention of Chromie Squiggles, which is a generative art NFT project by Artblock's founder, as the transaction that may have been the cause of the phishing scam. The scammer seems to have made off with NFTs that include a Cool Cat NFT, Damien Hirst, the Currency NFT, a Quantum Key, and several on-chain monkeys. There are, of course, some other NFTs which seem to have been safe, and there are no final details as yet at the moment, but it seems that this was a course of a socially engineered scam where the scammer essentially spends meticulous time on curating a secure and friendly attitude and relationship with the target, only to then strike when you least expect it. At this, I would personally like to encourage us all to perhaps have multiple wallets, but also have a, you know, I know that it sounds so tedious when people say this, but have a cold wallet, a lukewarm wallet, and a hot wallet as well. So when you have one that you know you use for your regular transactions, and then you perhaps have a Ledger. I personally, I'm a Ledger fan. I have been using it ever since I got into crypto. And I think I have found that it's much easier for me to use that. And it gives me some sense of security. Now, of course, there is no exact 100% security, regardless of what it is that you use. But it gives you just an extra, a thin layer of security and comfort. And it allows you to interact with certain things without feeling that you could lose all 40 of your assets or NFTs in this particular case. So I would personally encourage us all to get a bit more intentional with our wallet hygiene and our crypto hygiene. And on to our last headline for the week, Genesis has officially filed for bankruptcy.
And I'll say this, yet another one bites the dust. Now, the cryptocurrency lender Genesis has recently been charged by the U.S. Regulators Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, with illegally selling crypto. Genesis is a part of the digital currency group, the DCG, which is seemingly unaffected by the charges and is a conglomerate of more than 200 crypto-focused businesses. About $125 million was sent to the exchange in the run-up to Genesis filing for Chapter 11 protection. It is still early to tell, but we are yet to see how this filing will affect the spot and derivatives businesses in the long run. Now, the head of crypto index platform Future says, and I quote, "The reputation of Genesis is in the bin, and that is it, period." While journalist Frank Shapiro asked in a Twitter poll whether users would trade with Genesis after the filing, 73.7% of the 938 responders said no.
And with that, just a reminder that none of what we share here is financial advice, only the opinions of the individuals that make this show possible. You can always use the links in the show notes to do your own research. The goal this year is to reach 10K subscribers or listeners by the end of Q1. So don't forget to subscribe, share, and leave a rating on whatever platform you're listening from. And if you're able to leave a review, please do that as well, as this helps us to make sure that we are always giving you the kind of show that you're looking for and always improving where you feel there is room for improvement. So, until next time, be relentless.